During my freshman year of high school, the priest who was teaching our course on sacred scripture told us our homework assignment was to go home and read the New Testament letter of St. Paul to Philemon. Father said, for tomorrow's class, there will be a test on the entire book of Philemon. And we complained, we have to read the whole book by tomorrow. Yes, Father said patiently, the entire book. That's going to take us forever, we groaned. Do you know how long it took me to read St. Paul's letter to Philemon? 3 minutes. The first time I discovered that the letter of St. Paul to Philemon is the shortest of all of St. Paul's letters in the New Testament. It is so short, it doesn't even have any chapters. Just 25 verses. It only takes up one small page in my Dewey Reams Bible. It's that short. And so if I can give you a homework assignment, this week go home and read the entire letter of St. Paul to Philemon. We already read most of it at Mass this morning in today's second reading. We read verses 9 and 10 and verses 12 through 17. It's a great letter. St. Paul begins by calling himself an old man. Well, he's really not that old. He's probably about 60 years old, but he uses the Greek word meaning senior, so at least he's old enough to get his senior citizen discount. St. Paul is writing this letter, he says, from prison, probably from the maritime prison in Rome, where he was under house arrest for 2 years in the early 60s A.D., and St. Paul says he's in prison for preaching that Jesus Christ is God and the only Savior of the world. That's his only crime, for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. From his prison cell, he writes a letter to Philemon, who, according to verse 1, is a beloved and fellow worker of St. Paul. So they had apparently a good working relationship, working together to spread the gospel of Jesus. St. Paul notes in verse 5 that even in prison, he heard that Philemon has great love and faith in the Lord Jesus and a great love for the holy people of God. So Philemon could be a candidate for the outstanding Christian of the year. He's that type of virtuous, faith-filled, loving character. St. Paul is writing to Philemon on behalf of another character named Onesimus. You can use that for your confirmation name, Onesimus. Onesimus was Philemon's runaway slave who was very useful to St. Paul while he was in prison. I say useful in quotation marks because the name Onesimus means useful. He was very useful and helpful to Paul while he was under house arrest. And during those years in prison, St. Paul told the pagan Onesimus all about Jesus. And Onesimus was so inspired that he decided to become a Christian. And St. Paul, with his own hands, got to baptize Onesimus. That's what St. Paul means when he calls Onesimus his child, whose father I became in my imprisonment. St. Paul became Onesimus's spiritual father through baptism. And not only is St. Paul his spiritual father, but St. Paul has a great love and affection for Onesimus. You can tell that in the reading today because he calls his Onesimus his beloved one. He tells Philemon, I'm sending you Onesimus, and that's like I'm sending you my very heart. That's how dear Onesimus is to St. Paul. Now, the purpose of the letter, the point of the letter. St. Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, and he encourages Philemon to welcome Onesimus back, not as his slave, but as his brother in Christ. St. Paul appeals to Philemon. He says, welcome him back as if you would welcome me back. St. Paul goes on to say, he says, if Onesimus has wronged you in any way, if he owes you anything, charge it to my account, St. Paul says. I will repay you. I'll take care of whatever he owes you. St. Paul is certain that Philemon will welcome Onesimus back. He says, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. St. Paul could appeal to his authority as an apostle and command Philemon to welcome Onesimus back as a brother. But instead, he appeals to Philemon out of love, hoping that Philemon will do the right thing, not because he's forced, but that he would do the right thing on his own free will. So Philemon is now at the crossroads. What's he going to do? Will he punish his runaway slave? Treat him like he's always treated him in the past, like a paid, hired slave? Or will he welcome Onesimus back as a fellow Christian? What do you think he did? According to St. Paul, there's only one option. Philemon must embrace Onesimus as his brother in the faith, forgive all of his wrongdoing, and give him his freedom. Philemon and Onesimus were members of the same household, with one in authority over the other. Philemon having authority over Onesimus, but now they are children of equal standing, brothers. Equal brothers in the household of God the Father. When St. Paul writes a letter to the Romans or to the Corinthians or to the Galatians or to the Ephesians, he's also writing the letter to us. And when we hear it on Sunday morning, one of St. Paul's letters, he's writing it to us. So today, we're reading the letter and hearing the letter just as Philemon would hear it. So what would you do? What would you do if you were Philemon? Would you welcome Onesimus back as a brother in Christ? Or would you punish him, treat him like you've always treated him, like a hired slave? It's going to be different for Philemon to change his way of thinking, to treat somebody he treated as a hired slave and treat him like a brother. What would you do if you were Philemon? And what do we do when our brothers and sisters in Christ change, have a conversion like Onesimus? Do we receive them like Christ? What do we do? You're at your high school class reunion, and that person who is a bully to you those high school days comes up to you and says, you know, I'm really sorry, and I really regret being mean to you. What do you do? Receive them back? Or always treat them as that mean bully? What do you do when someone that you went to college with, who lived a very wild college life filled of wine, women, and song, comes up to you and says, I'm going to enter the seminary. I'm going to be a nun. Do you still treat them as the party animal, wine, women, and song person? Or do you think they've had a conversion? What do we do when a spouse or a parent or a child wants to come back into our life with a repentant heart? How do we treat them? Spouse, parent, sibling, a child. If they've cheated on you, stole from you, lied to you, but they're repentant, and want to come back into your life, what do we do? I won't trust you anymore. Or do we treat them as a family member? You know, when I've sinned and I come back to the Lord, I am so grateful that Jesus doesn't treat me like a slave. He treats me like a brother, like I'm really his brother and part of his family. And when people say, "You owe me, Father Cook," Jesus says, "Charge it to my account. Put the burden that Father Cook owes you on my shoulders," Jesus says. "I'll pay what Father Cook owes on the cross." Because Jesus has shown me such mercy, will I still treat those who wrong me as a slave instead of as a brother or sister in Christ? Who is the Onesimus in my life that the Lord wants me to welcome back as a brother or sister in Christ this week? Not because we're forced to, but because we freely want to. Who is the Onesimus in my life that the Lord wants me to welcome back as a brother or sister this week? Jesus says, "Welcome them as you would welcome me."